May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abendar Hawkins, and I want to serve you as priestess starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel Maggie Hawkins, and I would like to serve you as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. It's a privilege and honor to turn it over to one of the daughters of Yisrael Abel, Tania Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel, Tania Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. You may be seated. Today I have a poem to share with you. It is entitled, Summer of Peace. It's almost summer and it's already hot. Let's face the heat with all that we've got. Smiles are free and so are kind words. Share them as bountifully as there are birds. With the right attitude and helping hands, we can get through with our sisters and brothers. Don't be weighed down by the heat that abounds. There's plenty of smiles and kindness all around. Look for it, you'll see it, and practice righteousness to all. You'll find that the summer isn't really that hot after all. When you're kind to someone, guess what? You're being kind to you too. That's the way kindness works. It comes back to you. A summer of peace we can have right here. With Yahweh to guide us, we don't have to fear. So when the sun rays beam down, give a smile, not a frown. Remember to endure. It's nothing a chocolate and vanilla ice cream won't cure. It's a privilege and honor to turn it over to our first speaker, daughter of Yisrael Abel, Rebbe Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Revi Vive. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Yahshua said as he reached into the water and pulled Kepha out of the sea. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? These words could be spoken by Yahweh to us when we choose not to believe. When we choose to doubt that Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe. Isaiah 45:18 says, for this is what Yahweh, who created the heavens, who is the Father, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, says, I am Yahweh, and there is no other source of power. Yahweh is guiding and leading us through his 613 laws that he gives us. Deuteronomy 32:47. These are not just idle words for you. These laws mean life to you. Yahweh not only has laws for us, but for the microbes too. He set the laws of physics to govern them. Let's try a simple science experiment to prove that Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe, and his laws govern us more than we know. Through science, we know that when you mix a reactant and a catalyst, it causes a chemical reaction. If it weren't for Yahweh, you could mix and nothing would occur. But let's see Yahweh in action.
Okay, So we are going to mix a few liquids, which is hydrogen peroxide, which is the chemical compound of H2O2, and yeast, which is the element NH. Wow, this wouldn't have occurred if it weren't for Yahweh.
Okay. Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe. He is the supreme ruler. Nothing occurs without his permission. We know that Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe. But you know what? We don't need science to prove that he is real and that he is watching over us. Just take a look around at Yahweh's magnificent creation. As Job 37:14 says, "Stop and consider the wondrous works of Yahweh. Do you know how Yahweh commands the clouds and makes his lightning flash? Do you know how he hung the clouds? Those wonders of him who is perfect in knowledge? Yahweh created you. Yahweh created me. And he created his kingdom, which we are going to be serving and reigning in very soon if we learn not to doubt in Yahweh's ability and anything. The next time you start doubting, even in your mind, or hear these words, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' say, 'Not me, I believe.' Do you believe? I would like to thank the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins, for teaching us about Yahweh and for giving me the opportunity to speak today. Please stand and welcome the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is, If Yahshua Did It, So Can We Become Yahweh's Righteous Sons and Daughters. Our High Priest Yahshua Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, through his obedience to Yahweh's righteous laws, he became in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Genesis 1, verse 26. Yahshua lived a sinless life knowing he was chosen as the Passover lamb who would lay down his life for the sins of the world. Yahweh used Yahshua as that righteous example to show us that we can live without sin through the obedience to Yahweh and his righteous laws, so that we would be accepted by Yahweh as his sons and daughters, just as Yahshua, our high priest. House of Yahweh, we have a righteous high priest, Yahshua Messiah, who is over the house of Yahweh at this time, and he is guiding Yisrael Hawkins, the last day's witness, the one sent by Yahweh, to prepare a righteous sacrifice to offer to Yahweh. As in Daniel 12, verse 10, many will be purified, made white, tried, and tested. Great Father Yahweh has seen us as in an unformed substance in our mother's womb. Psalms 139, verse 15 to 16. Yahweh is doing the same thing today with the great house of Yahweh, by Pastor who is guided by Yahshua in everything. He is molding and shaping us into the image and likeness of Yahweh so that we can be that sacrifice that Yisrael Hawkins will be offering to Yahweh. Family of Yahweh, Yahweh has seen us as that finished product. We are the ones who have to make that a reality. We need to focus on being righteous. Push away sin. Get rid of it from our lives. Yahweh has given us all the tools we need to become his sons and daughters. Here are a few. He gave us his righteous laws. He gave us our high priest and his witness, beloved Yisrael. He gave us the house of Yahweh and his Sabbaths, the book of Yahweh and the books of Yisrael, and also the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. All of these are given to us by Yahweh so we can become his sons and daughters like Yahshua. Yeshua said in Matthew 22, verse 14, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Let's be the ones chosen to hear the word, "Well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of your Father." Yahweh knows you can. Yeshua knows you can. And Yisrael knows you can. So let's make ourselves ready to enter into that beautiful kingdom of Yahweh we are now looking forward to. Time is running out. Let's make this beautiful kingdom of Yahweh a reality. Let's become righteous like Yeshua. And with this, I'd like to turn over to Daughter Yisrael Abel Kavinia for prayer.
Now, we heard that it was going to be 103 degrees, and the index, heat index was going to be a little bit higher than that. So we're going to cool you down with some nice words of Yahweh. Okay, you ready for that? Great. So we've got some speakers lined up that are going to bring Yahweh's cool words to get your mind ready for this kingdom that we've been training for many, many years, which is just right around the corner now. So we're going to get your minds ready so that we can walk into that cool kingdom. So without any further delay, I'd like to introduce the first of our speakers.
Shalom, you may be seated. Have you ever made a plan? Maybe you plan to cook a meal, or you plan to build something. Maybe you plan to make a dress or start a garden. Once there was a young girl, and she decided that she wanted to cook a big meal for her family. She was going to make lasagna and garden salad with homemade breadsticks and brownies for dessert. But before she could start cooking, she needed to make a plan. So in this plan, she said she needed to find her recipes. Then she needed to read her recipes entirely to see if it would go along with what she wanted to cook. And then she needed to collect all of her ingredients and set aside enough time so she could cook the meal she planned. She had to do all of this before she could start cooking. This young girl had a plan. Yahweh has a plan. Yahweh is the master planner. He had a plan from the beginning. Yahweh's plan is to have a family who is perfect. Yahweh wants us to become perfect just like he is. In Matthew 5, verse 48, on page 732, it says, "Therefore, become perfect just as your Father who is in heaven is perfect." We know Yahweh's plan is from the beginning, and we see this in Yochanan 1, verse 1 through 4, on page 814. It says, "In the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. The same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh, and all the things that were done according to it, and nothing was done that was done. And this plan was life, and life was the light to mankind." Yahweh's plan was from the beginning. He didn't just create mankind and leave us on the earth. No, Yahweh's plan was to create mankind. He gave us laws, which are that light, to help us guide us. And another part of Yahweh's plan is that Yahweh would want his family to learn his laws and be able to teach it throughout all the universe. Yahweh wants to give us his family rulership over all creation. But in order to do this, we must first come to perfection and prove to Yahweh that we can work together in unity, serving each other. In Genesis 1:26 is a familiar scripture that we all know. This scripture confirms that Yahweh wants us to have rulership and authority over his creation. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image and according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Have you ever stopped to think about this great authority that Yahweh wants to give us? What he promises those who overcome and qualify for this position? Now, this authority is not just to say, "Oh, look at me, I have authority, I can tell you what to do." No, this authority comes with serving. It comes with the humbleness and the willingness to serve each other as if we were serving Yahweh. Yahweh is very patient with us. He knew that we needed more time to overcome. He knew his plan would take time and we wouldn't become perfect overnight. So here's four parts to Yahweh's plan. Yeshua Messiah is our high priest. Yisrael Hawkins is our teacher, the house of Yahweh, and us. Yahweh's plan includes a high priest, Yeshua Messiah, who is the first of many to inherit Yahweh's kingdom. In Hebrews 10, verse 21, on page 949, it says, "And having a high priest over the house of Yahweh." Yeshua Messiah works with our great teacher in these last days so that one day we can share in this inheritance that Yeshua, this inheritance of Yahweh's kingdom. Yahweh's plan also includes preparing and sending us a teacher who would teach his house. Yisroel Abel Hawkins fulfills this prophecy and this part of Yahweh's plan. In Isaiah 44, verse 1 to 2, and verse 8, it's on page 558. Verse 8 says, "Do not fear nor become afraid. Have I not told you from that time? Have I not declared? You are my witnesses. There is no source of power except me. Truly, there is no other rock. I know not one." Yahweh tells us that he would have two witnesses, and he also tells us who they would be. Yahweh's plan also includes establishing his house, the house of Yahweh, which we know was granted official charter in 1981 in the chief of the nations, just like it says in Isaiah 2:2. On page 531, it's Isaiah 2:2. It says, "It will come to pass in the last days, the mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it." Yahweh's plan also includes you. It includes his family. In Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 5, on page 916, it says, "Because he chose us with him before the foundations of the world, that we were to be holy without blame before him in love, preordaining us, his children by adoption, through Yeshua Messiah, according to the righteous pleasure of his plan." Yahweh chose us to be his children and be a part of his plan. Yahweh wants us to become perfect just like him. He wants to give us this great power and authority over his creation. But for us to have this great authority, we must first overcome. We must love each other and treat each other as if we were interacted with Yahweh. We must willingly and joyfully do our job in the work. We must accept correction. We must be patient with one another. We must be encouraging and helpful. We must put ourselves down and consider the needs of the people around us. I want you to think, can you think of one time this week that you could have served someone else better? Yahweh continuously serves us, and he wants us to do the same. These are just a few of the things that we must do in order to become like Yahweh. Yahweh wants us to put our trust in him and his plan. In Philippians 1, verse 6, on page 921, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a righteous work in you will continue to bring it to perfection until the day of Yeshua Messiah." Yahweh has been doing a righteous work in us. Our coming to perfection is an ongoing process. We are evolving into righteous people. Just like the little girl got excited about cooking a big meal for her family, she got excited when it was time to serve the lasagna and the breadsticks and the salad and the brownies. Yahweh is looking forward to us coming to perfection. Psalms 33, verse 15 is a reminder that Yahweh knows you and that he chose you to be a part of his plan. It says, "He, Yahweh, individually knows the hearts and sees their works." So let us never forget that Yahweh knows us and that he is watching what we are doing. He wants us to continuously work to come to perfection so that we can be a part of his family and fulfilling his plan. I want to thank the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisroel Abel Hawkins, for teaching us Yahweh's laws and giving me the opportunity to speak today. And with this, if you'll stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
You may be seated. Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you today. So how are you doing this Sabbath morning? Are you hot, on fire, sizzling for Yahweh? Today it is predicted to be very hot, reaching 103 degrees or higher, but here in the house of Yahweh, Yahweh's living words gives us a different kind of heat that sets us on fire. So once again, are you hot? If not, let me ask you three questions that can get you in the mood, and along with these questions, we have an answer key, and I really want to hear you, okay? So my first question, who is like Yahweh? Who is equal to him in honor, glory, majesty, and strength? None. Yes. I really didn't hear you that time, so let's try again. Who is like Yeshua, Yahweh's bright and morning star, the chief cornerstone who rocks the earth from BY to AY? Okay, we're getting louder. Let's try one more time. My last question. Who is like Yisroel Hawkins, the greatest teacher in the earth, the mighty Malik, who rocks the minds of all the called out ones in every generation? Thank you. Okay, Even though their offices and positions are separate and different, we can never find none equal to them all. Today, the title of my speech is The One Teacher Who Taught Them All. This one teacher teaches Yahweh's message like it was, like it is, and like it's going to be through Yahweh's television. Did you know that Gisrael Hawkins is the one teacher who taught them in the past? He's teaching us in the present and will be teaching all generations in the future to come. So how did Yahweh actually work this television? Well, for starters, it takes millions of megapixels to make an image or picture. A megapixel is a scientific term used to measure the quality of a digital image. The more pixels you have, the more clear and brighter the picture gets. Did you know that one of the most powerful cameras on Earth is our eyes? According to ClarksVision.com, the human eye contains 324 million megapixels. So Yahweh has his own megapixel program in the subconscious mind of every human being, where he can show a crystal clear picture in any given space or time. This is how Yisrael taught the prophets in the past, for he taught Daniel, Yochanan, Isaiah, Yekeskia, Zechariah, and many more. Now Daniel was worried about the closed up books, and Yahweh showed him Yisrael clothed in linen, teaching on that future day. And for your notes, Daniel 12:6. Yochanan asked about the seven closed seals, and he saw the seven mallet teaching the great secrets of Yahweh in the end, Revelations 10:7. So Isaiah was concerned about the two witnesses. Then he saw Yisrael, the spokesperson, declaring, "There is no gods before or after Yahweh," Isaiah 43:10. For Yekeskia asks, "How would I be able to measure the temple if I wouldn't be there in the future?" But guess what? That wasn't a problem. Yahweh allowed him to walk side by side Yisrael, who provided him with the measurements. Yekeskia chapters 40, verse 44. Let's see the importance of the words of this wise teacher in Ecclesiastes 12, 10 verses through 11. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 10 through 11, found on page 525. Okay. And it says here, "Qoheleth sought to find words of delight, and the words that were written were upright words of truth, the laws and the prophets. The words of the wise are like goads, and the collected works of the teachers are like well-driven nails by one shepherd, who is Yisrael Hawkins." And for your notes, Ephesians 4:11 through 13, that shows Yisrael building the house of Yahweh and perfecting the saints. Now Yisrael is teaching this generation just like in Matthew 24:14. It shows that this joyous message is being taught, and then the end will come. Yisrael Hawkins is delighting our TV screens today. He has also prophesied to teach the future generations, but not only that, remember, in Yekeskia 37, Yekeskia saw him raising the dead and teaching the message to the dry bones. So who will be the one raising the dead and teaching the message to the dry bones? You, we, the house of Yahweh, the seventh era, the Philadelphia group, and along with our high priest, Yeshua Messiah. So in closing, I would like to leave you with an acronym today. And it's going to show us why we are hot, sizzling, on fire with the zeal of Yahweh. In our Mark of the Beast class 2 weeks ago, we were presented this acronym for HOT. And it's found in volume 2, pages 289. And today I would like to share it with you for my poster. It says, HOT represents the house of training. But not only that, it also represents the house of teachers. And we know, not any teachers, but zealous teachers, who were trained by the one and only Okified Oki, Yisrael Hawkins from Oklahoma, the ends of the earth. And remember, Oklahoma means red people. Why red? Red because Yisrael Hawkins is hot, on fire, consumed by the laws of Yahweh. So let's recap. Who is like Yahweh? Okay, none. Who is like Yeshua? None. Who is like Yisrael Hawkins? None. And who is like the great house of Yahweh? None. Okay, and remember, house of Yahweh, the one reason why we are so hot for Yahweh is because the zeal for his house has eaten us up. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, so continuing on here, how about of thinking how great Yahweh's plan for man is. When you think about it,
It's magnificent. And without the teachings of Israel Hawkins, no one would ever be able to understand it. But if you think, Yahweh is so merciful to us. He knows that there's been generations before us, thousands of years of our ancestors who've sinned, right? And he's trying to pull us out of that and bring us to his house and teach us the right and proper way to conduct ourselves and how we can come to perfection. And today we have a living example of that, and that's our great overseer. But our top example is Yahshua. He is our example. He was perfect. He's the representation of Yahweh's plan. He upholds everything according to Yahweh's plan. So with that, I'd like to talk about, let us get serious about overcoming. If you all remember in Genesis chapter 4, when Yahweh said to Cain, or sometimes when I think about it, I say to myself, you know, why are you angry? Why are you doing this? Why are you making the wrong choice? Why are you downcast? If you do righteousness, will you not be acceptable? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. And overcoming, it's a process. It's a lifetime process. It takes many things. It takes teaching. But if you see there, the desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. It's a command. Just like we're commanded to come to Yahweh's Sabbaths and feasts and rejoice, it's a command to come to Yahweh's house and to overcome all sin and to come to perfection. But I speak to myself as well as you here. We have our great teachers, our counselors, our parents, our supervisors, and Yahweh's offered us many things. He's offered us many classes. He's offered us many books and different things that will help us if we apply it. We have to apply ourselves and make the conscious effort to want to turn from the wrong thing and do the right thing. And remember, Yahshua is our example. If you think about his life and how Pastor explains to us all the time, from birth to death, about 33 years before he was resurrected and ascended to sit at Yahweh's right hand, he spent all that time working for Yahweh and for mankind. Even remember when he was young and his parents found him, he said, "I'm about my father's business." He did that. Nothing shows him working for himself, ever. He was always healing, he taught, he comforted, he even fed food to others. And we see that example here in the last days with our great overseer. And everyone knew that he was coming to fulfill the prophecies. Think about what a comforting thing that was for those who lived in that time to see Yahshua. And in the last days, Yahweh has also sent us a comforter as well. He taught, he healed, he did everything in service to others. And what does he look forward to now? He looks forward to what's shown in Luke 12, 35 through 44, which is on page 798, and it's titled "Watch, Be on Guard, the Faithful Servant." A lot of times in the parables you hear, especially like the wise and foolish virgins, the parable of the talents, the parable of the wheat and tares, where that, you know, be in haste and overcome and be ready for the coming of our Savior is always talked about. "Let your belts be fastened around your waist and your lamps burning. May you yourselves be like men who wait for their ruler, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately." Remember, we're ready. Pastor's always getting us ready with the teachings and watching the prophecies being fulfilled. "Blessed are those servants whom the ruler, when he comes, will find watching. Truly I say to you, he will fasten his belt and will have them sit down to eat and will come out and serve them." So you see there, he's going to be serving us. "Therefore, be ready also for the Son of Man comes at an hour that you do not expect." And then the apostle asked him, he said, then Kepha said to him, "Teacher, do you speak this parable only to us or to everyone?" Remember, those things were spoken to his disciples, but they're for us in the last days. "Therefore, be ready." Verse 43, "Blessed is that servant whom his ruler, when he comes, will find him so doing." And then pay attention to verse 44. "Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has." That's a sure promise there. Just as Yahshua obtained it, we can obtain it too if we put forth the effort. Now, that goes along with what's shown in Revelation 3:21, where it talks about Yahshua speaking. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will eat with him and he with me." To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as also I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Remember, Yahshua was tempted and always like we were, but he overcame all those things. And you see in Revelation 2 and 3, the many promises to he who overcomes, or she, Yahweh will make a pillar in his house. They'll be able to have the right to eat from the tree of life, salvation that was cut off. You can read that in Genesis. But a lot of times we forget these things, and a great scripture to keep in mind is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Before we go there, if you can go to Yochanan 13:17, where Yahshua was talking about being a servant, and this is right before he was about to be murdered, and it says, we are to follow Yahshua's example. It's on page 831, and after he had washed the disciples' feet, he said in verse 15, for I have given you an example that you do as I have done for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his ruler, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you do these things, if you understand these things, joyful are you when you do them. So he shows that being a servant actually brings joy. And that would help us to overcome, because you're not focusing on yourself. You're focusing on doing the work of Yahweh in service to others. And also, we want to be encouraging to each other. And in Hebrews 10:24, remember, these are Yahshua's words. And let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards love and righteous works. We can do this together. I've set my mind to do it. That's something you can always tell yourself. We can do this together. I have set my mind to do it. Don't say I'm going to set my mind to do it. Say I have set my mind to do it. I want to be like Yahshua. I want to be like our great overseer. I want to be like Yahweh. These are things so that we can keep in our minds so we don't fall short. So we can speed up that process of overcoming and get serious about it, because the time is going to come when Yahshua will return and those who put forth the effort will be there when we eat with him and be able to serve. And we get a glimpse of that every feast. So just remember these things. And with that, if you all please stand, I'm going to turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Truly an honor to speak to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. You may be seated. The title of my speech is my research on the two witnesses. Pastor called and asked me to do research on a new project that was upcoming to begin on 6/13/2017 about the hidden secrets of the two witnesses, explanation of the gematria used in the hidden secrets of the two witnesses. Slide one, please. And here they are. Now, it is funny because, excuse me, it wasn't supposed to be released until 6/13/2017, but it was leaked on Facebook 2 days early. Then Yahweh and Yahshua released their version in the clouds on the night of 6/12/2017. When I got this assignment to see what I could find out on the two witnesses, I got goosebumps on the left side, on my left leg. It was odd because it is impossible to get goosebumps on one side of the body and not the other, because it's an involuntary movement that is controlled by your subconscious. So I proceeded to tell him that I had it, and it was the second time I'd had it when I had spoken to the one sent. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I finished reporting my findings, and I shared them with the great sister. And when I shared my findings, the great sister also said, wow, I just got goosebumps down my right arm. And I said, wow, that was pretty incredible. Can I have it turned over to the second screen, please? I put in the Gematrix that I have an app on my phone as the two witnesses, T-W-O. And in the two witnesses that came up 2492, Hebrew, the to grow strong, to dream, to restore to hell, to encourage one to dreams, dreamed, dreamer, dreameth, dream, to cause to dream in good liking and recover. And 2492 Greek, Job, where is my father? 1344 Hebrew, pride, arrogant, and pride. And 1344 Greek, to justify, vindicate, declare righteous, to put someone in the proper relationship with another, usually referring to Yahweh's relationship to mankind. It does say God, but we know that Yahweh only has relationship with mankind. Implying the proper and legal moral relationship, justified, justifieth, free, justifier, and righteous. 244 in the Hebrew, my hearing, and 244 in the Greek, meddler, busybody, formally rendered the one who oversees what belongs to another, unwarranted matter, busybody, and other men's matters. And he does take care of all of us. He is the overseer of the house of Yahweh. In the number two witnesses came up of 1442 in the Hebrew, to blasphemy, revile, blasphemeth, and reproacheth. In 1442 in the Greek, seventh and seventh. And he is the seventh-day smallot. 996 in the Hebrew, between, to separate from, whether, or, between, among, betwixt, at even. 996 in the Greek, help, support, to hold together with ropes and cables, helps and help. 166 in the Hebrew, to be bright, shineth, and 166 in the Greek, eternal, long ago, eternal, everlasting, world began, forever, and since the world began. So, this should bring to mind that in Yochanan 1:1, 1 through 5, on page 814, that the plan of Yahweh. in the beginning, it was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. The same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh, and all things were done according to it. And without it, nothing was done that was done. In this plan was life, and the life was light to mankind. Now that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not take a hold of it. House of Yahweh, every one of you here listening or watching us, please, please, I ask you that you need to go and get the sermon of the two witnesses and their end time work dated January 1st of 2011. It is on Facebook now as well, and it will explain in great detail all of Yochanan 1, 1 through 5, and more. In Acts, on page 851, I had to short it down for time's sake, but Acts 10:34-35. I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of persons, but in every nation who references him and works righteousness is accepted by him. In Acts 10:11, envision heaven being opened, and something like a sheet lowered by the four corners descending of the earth. In Acts 10:28, and he said to them, But Yahweh has shown me that I must not call any man common or unclean. Acts 10:15-16, what Yahweh has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and then the sheet was taken up to heaven again. And in my slides, too, you can see. Can they see it? You can see this large cloud here was able to be seen all the way from Clyde all the way to Abilene, 17 miles away. And if you notice the first line in it, it says ID. When I looked at this, when it was shown to me by a great sister who I feel Yahweh was acknowledging, because the time that the picture was taken was at 8:51 and her co-op number is occurs to be 158. But I saw a pastor in the picture, and then, can I go to slide three? I saw a pastor in the picture, and then further down, I saw another person, and I didn't know who that man was. And she said, this is the east. Can you go to slide four? This is in the east. And I said, that's the east, and this is Jacob. And there's pastor in the west. So Jacob will be in the east. He's on the far. Can you go to the next one over? The next slide. He's in the far corner down on the bottom. You can see his glasses, you can see his nose to the side, and his beard. I can't point over there. So, so to me, they are playing with us in the hidden secrets that they are revealing, as well as Yahweh's house and pastor. They just ID'd the two witnesses. I truly believe that people come into your life for a reason, a season, and for a lifetime. And we wouldn't have been able to do all of these things linked and run together if I hadn't come and witnessed with a great sister in the house in order to share this all with you. May I bless your understanding. May you please stand. And I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. Praise God. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'm going to jump right in today, and I'm going to talk about Yahweh's laws. And I'm going to share something that's really awesome with y'all. So in The Mark of the Beast, Volume 2, it's page 309 in my book. The different printings have different page numbers, but in the first printing that I have, it's page 309. It says, "The house of Yahweh is merely an instrument established and used by Yahweh to train the called out ones." And when I read that was very profound to me. And the house of Yahweh is an instrument that Yahweh uses to train the called out ones. And that's nothing new. I know you're sitting there like, yeah, that's nothing new. But do we ever really stop and think about it? That this is the instrument Yahweh uses. And we know familiar scriptures, 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of Yahweh is the pillar and ground of the truth. Psalm 119, 142, and 151 says the laws are the truth. So this instrument trains us in Yahweh's laws. Now, the question is, what if this house brings forth something about Yahweh's laws that we struggle with, that we don't quite understand or agree with? Where does that leave us? And that's what we really need to focus on, because there are only two kingdoms, sisters. There's two. It's one side or the other. There is no in-between. There is no, well, Yahweh's laws are great, but the house of Yahweh. No, there are two kingdoms. We are either on Yahweh's side or Satan's side, period. This is not up for debate. And knowing and believing that the house of Yahweh is the instrument to bring Yahweh's laws forth, we have to believe and uphold law number 20, which says, build up the house of Yahweh. Now, we women, we are not carpenters. If I had to go build this house, that'd be bad. That would be so bad. So what does that mean? We're not going to physically build the house. So how do we keep this law? We build the house of Yahweh at all times with every word, action, deed that comes forth from our mouths. And that includes building up the people. Because are the people not the house of Yahweh? Yes. And, you know, our overseer painted us this picture. I'm a very visual person. I've told you all that before. So I want us to picture a humongous courtroom. Do you see the courtroom? You walk in, Great Father Yahweh sits at the judge. On one side of the courtroom sits Yahshua, our defense attorney, defending the called out ones. On the other side sits Lucifer, Satan, the adversary, casting accusations. When we walk in that courtroom, think of the person you like the least, that you struggle the most with. They're sitting up there on trial. We walk in the courtroom. Whose side do we sit on? We can only pick one. We can't sit down in the middle. We either pick the side of Yahshua defending the called out ones or Satan attacking, accusing the called out ones. Whose side do we sit on? Praise Yahweh. I didn't expect y'all to answer, but that's great. Praise Yahweh. And that's something we really have to keep in our minds at all times. There are only two sides. Proverbs 18:21 says, death or life is in the power of the tongue. And Proverbs 6:27-28 says, can a man put fire in his lap and his clothing not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not get scorched? In other words, can we speak against Yahweh's house and Yahweh's people and not expect to be sitting on the side of Satan? That's what we're warned. And that's something we have to remember at all times. And we have to build up the house of Yahweh and its people
at all times. And I want to share something with you all. I've told you all before, I struggle with the numbers. I think that's something that some people latch on to and other people not so much. And I've always said if Yahweh wanted to show me something in the numbers, he had to be very obvious about it. There could be no around the corners. It just had to be straightforward. So I had the blessing of talking with Overseer, and we were talking about his Social Security number. Now, Social Security numbers began being issued in 1936. That was 2 years after Overseer was born, we know. And that is a system in America that every person is issued a Social Security number. Nowadays, it's when you're born, but back then you had to apply for one in order to get a job. It's determined by the year you were born, by where you were born. There's no way to control it, in other words. It's something you're issued. For those of you who are in America, you understand that. It's something you're issued. So I looked up our Overseer's Social Security number, and do not worry, I'm not giving it to you, okay? The man's already, he's given out his mother's maiden name, his phone number. I'm not giving you his social. But what was awesome to me was, and if we could go ahead and show the picture too, because I know y'all are disappointed. You didn't get to see him. So if we could, there we go. That's so much better, right? So the last part of his Social Security number means timely, give thanks, to reverence or worship with extended hands, an Israelite. Now, wait. The first part of his number, okay, this is the part. The first part of his number means overseer. I know, right? And it wasn't like I had to go to 5-12 different words to get there. I opened it up and I almost fell over. That to me, it just shows us, you know, our overseer, Yahweh is with him. He is. Because I guarantee you, if you look up your social, it's nothing so lovely. A sister and I looked up ours. Hers meant, I think it was a raging river or something, and mine meant to be hopeless. And so, I mean, it's not like you can just look it up and it's just so plain and obvious that it's you. But this, an Israelite who worships with extended hands, an overseer. I mean, come on. So praise Yahweh. So I just want to end in Genesis 28:17. This is one of my best loved scriptures, and I want to use it to encourage all of you. And he was afraid, and he said, how wonderful is this place? How wonderful is this place? This is none other than the house of Yahweh, and this is the gate, the entrance to the kingdom of Yahweh. Sisters, hold on. We're so close. Keep going through that gate. Build up Yahweh's house at all times. And I pray Yahweh blesses you all, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'd like to begin by asking everyone, there's an old adage that says experience is the best teacher. Have you all ever heard it? Right, we have heard it, right? Experience is the best teacher. Well, I'd like to speak about that today. And to be honest with you, when I read it, I'm like, okay. But it means most people learn by doing something than by reading about it. It means you have to experience it firsthand yourself, right? So you can learn from it. But I do not believe in this, honestly, I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because of the book of Yahweh. I don't believe that phrase because of the book of Yahweh. Because why must I experience sin myself when I could read about my forefathers who committed these things? I don't have to experience it myself. I can learn from the book of Yahweh and the teacher that was sent in these last days. Because the book of Yahweh is a detailed account of our forefathers, the things they did and the things they did not do, their sins and their blessings. Right? That is what the book of Yahweh is, the laws of Yahweh explained and expounded by the teachers. So I would like to ask you again, who remember King Ahab? King Yasaphat from Yada, and Micaiah the prophet, those three people. I would like to read in 2 Chronicles, beginning in chapter 17. It's a lot of reading, so we'll have to go a little fast to read the account of these three people. 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, verses 364, beginning in verse 3. Now Yahweh was with Yehoshaphat, for he walked in the ways of his father David. He did not seek Baal, Lord. But he sought Yahweh, the father of his father. He walked in his laws and not according to the practices of Israel, meaning he did not sin. He was following the laws and the prophets in those days. Continuing verse 6. His heart, mind was so firmly set on the ways of Yahweh that he again removed the high places, the Asherah poles, the sacred poles from Yada. Verse 7. In the third year of his reign, he dispatched, listen to what he did, he dispatched his officials, sons of virtue, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, who teach the cities of Yada. So they were following the laws in those days. So jump forward to 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1. Listen to what Yehoshaphat did. Now Yehoshaphat had great riches and much honor, but through marriage, he aligned himself with Ahab. In verse 3 now, Ahab, king of Israel, asked Yehoshaphat, king of Yada, will you go with me to attack a certain city? And he said to him, yes, I am as you are, and my people are as your people. We will go with you into war. Right? Going down to verse 4. But Yehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, inquire first for the word of Yahweh this day. Then the king of Israel gathered his prophets together. Remember, the king of Israel, Yehoshaphat, gathered his prophets together. 400 men, not the prophets of Yahweh, okay? And asked them, shall we go to war against the city or shall we refrain? They answered, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. They advised him to go to war. These other teachers in those days, the Christian teachers in those days, advised this king to go into war. Verse 7. The king of Israel answered Yehoshaphat and said, there remains only one man by whom we may inquire of Yahweh, but I hate him. I hate the man of Yahweh. Because he never prophesied anything fit about me. I wonder why. Why did he say that about the prophet of Yahweh? Because the prophet of Yahweh was not telling him what he wanted to hear. That's the fact of the matter. The prophet told him what the laws said, what the prophecy said. But the king did not want to hear that. So he said, because he never prophesies anything fit about me, but only evil always. He is Micaiah, who is like Yahweh, the son. But Yehoshaphat said, the king should not say such things. Yehoshaphat corrected him. His relation by marriage. So long story short, they called for Micaiah. And look what Micaiah said to him. Micaiah told him, then he answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep that have no shepherd. And Yahweh said, these have no ruler. Let each man to return to his home in peace. The king of Israel then said to Yehoshaphat again, did I not tell you the word that he would prophesy nothing fit concerning me? Because he did not hear what he wanted to hear, that he would win this war. War that brings killing and fighting. But long story short, Yehoshaphat accompanied him into war, and King Ahab died. Yehoshaphat went home. So continuing verse 19. However, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. So he was spared. Then he came into contact with Ahaziah and went out to meet him and the king. And he said to the king, Jehoshaphat, listen to what this person said to the king. He corrected him, right? Should you help those who are evil or love those who hate Yahweh? Because that was what King Ahab was. He loved evil and hated Yahweh. Because of this, the wrath, which is translated wrongly, of Yahweh is upon you. So King Jehoshaphat, he repented, and he appointed judges by a show of hand in here. How much of us are judges or kohanas or deaconesses or even captains over tens, thousands? How much of us are? How much? Yes, a lot of us. So listen to the warning. He appointed judges in the land in each of the fortified cities of Judah. This is Jehoshaphat doing. And he instructed these judges, consider carefully what you do, for you do not judge for man, but for Yahweh who is with you in the judgment. Now, may the reverence of Yahweh be upon you. Be careful what you do, for in Yahweh your Father there is no injustice, no partiality, no taking of bribes. We should not be swayed. Once you hold this position, we should not be swayed. Whether we are counselors, kohanas, judge, captains over tens, captains over a thousand, or captains over one, we should not be swayed. He ordered, verse 9, he ordered them saying, you must perform your duties in reverence of Yahweh faithfully and with a perfect heart. With the laws being in your heart, with the laws being your guide. Whatever case comes before you from your brothers who lives in your cities, whether bloodshed or various offenses against the law or commandments, against statutes or ordinances, you are to warn them not to trespass against Yahweh. However, if you warn them, you will not be, what's that word? Guiltless. May you judge with great courage. That's the warning that we have. So, sisters, I would like you to take this account seriously. It's not a pretty story put there for us to read as a bedtime story for our entertainment. No, it is for us to learn from these things, from these teachings. That is why it was put there in the book of Yahweh, so we will not fall short. I want you to make it personal. Replace the king this one or king that one with Sister A, Sister Y, or whatever, and replace the Micaiah, the prophet in those days, with Israel Hawkins. Make it personal so you will understand and learn from these things. We must always remember we are not judging for ourselves between your sisters, between A and B, but we are judging for Yahweh. We are showing the people the laws of Yahweh. We are training them in the laws. But first, we must be first acquainted with these laws that bring peace, love, and joy. And we must study these laws. We must study this book of Yahweh, sisters. So we become acquainted with these laws so it will never leave our mouth and our tongues. I thank you for listening to the speech I brought forth. And I am also very, very sad Overseer was not here to speak before us. But, great news, he sent us a message. He would like us to know that the press release this week, which was published on June the 6th, 2017, Israel Hawkins, the name of the press release, Israel Hawkins exposes religious lies and provides detail on single religious truth in the latest post. The number for it is 95,607. It is basically twice than what it usually is. I would like to read only one line from this post, and you can find it on yahwehsbranch.com. He wrote in his post, Israel Hawkins insists that the people need to be familiar with the Holy Scriptures in order to be able to discern the truth or falseness in the teachings. Right? So we must be acquainted with the Book of Yahweh and the Scriptures. Likewise, we will top send Google as usual. Number one for this post for this week. Nothing new, right? Nothing new. Also, this past week, because of the increase in knowledge, we were blessed to put on the House of Yahweh official Facebook page. We put up on 611 the Gematria. I got it. The two lamps. Right? And we put the list of things it associated with it, the words. And we had replies to it. Some of these people left saying, who are these two witnesses? Have they arrived? They are questioning in. Right? It's opening, sparking something in their mind. The multitude is coming, sisters, and because of the increase of knowledge, our message can go forth. Likewise, we also put up on the official House of Yahweh Facebook page, the hidden secrets of the two witnesses, Revelation chapter 11 and Isaiah chapter 44. It was shared, and it went. We had over 940 people reached since 6/11. That's just a few days. I encourage you all to look at it. Likewise, we also put up the gematria for the two witnesses, right? Which explains what is gematria and how it compiles and how it is referred. It's how the book, the numbering system, the way how the Book of Yahweh is written. It reached over 814 people. Praise Yahweh for the increase in knowledge and the righteous ways we can use it to push forth this work in these last days. Also, on the official House of Yahweh Facebook page, we have something called live Sabbath streamings every Sabbath. We have a lot of comments, a lot of shared. I'd like to share with you some of the comments left. We are unable to join others at the place we meet for services today, but we have gained by listening to the sermons via Facebook. Also, there was some Chinese writing. I don't read Chinese, but praise Yahweh. Moving on, it says, Praise Supreme Father Yahweh for his great technology. Sisters, the work of Yahweh is going forth in these last days. The work is spreading. Take an active role in it. Read the Book of Yahweh, read the publications we have brought out. And for anyone needing information on the two witnesses, please call, email, or write in. We have two books available, the PW on the two witnesses and the newsletter on the two witnesses. Likewise, we have a book called The Two Witnesses and New Light. I hope you get them and read them and educate yourself in the laws of Yahweh's and prophecies in these last days. I'd like to turn over to the next speaker, please.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Trust in He Who Formed You in the Womb. Trust in He Who Formed You in the Womb. We know who this He is. That's Yahweh. And I'd like to share with you an honest fear I have, and it's a true fear. And it's one of many, of course. And it's the hospital. Okay? Whenever I think of a hospital, last time I ever had to go in one, all I could think about was I'm not going to come back out alive. And it's the truth. I was scared. I don't want to go in there. Because all my past life and people who has been so close to me never came back out alive. And that is true. That is very true. The second reason why that hospital is such a fear for me is because of the cost.
That is expensive, people. It is expensive.
Remember when Pastor talked about the IV and basically is salt and sugar, which is like what you could get for free at home, you know, if you live with your mom? It's very expensive. Very expensive. But that is a fear I do have, hospitals. Now, originally, hospitals were made to just take care of trauma, severe situations that needed immediate care, okay? But do you realize that over the years, we have become what I call the first baby syndrome? If you ever see a mother and she just had the baby, you know, new baby, first baby, every little thing is a problem. What's that bump on her face? Oh my word, they just fell down. They just fell down. Okay, let's check. Let's make sure. Do they need to go to the hospital? We have this syndrome, don't we, about ourselves. Sometimes when we feel a pain, we're like, oh, that must be a heart attack. I just had a minor heart attack. I lived through it. I was conscious through it. Or my heart, like my blood pressure is going up. Oh my word, this is a bad sign. Because you're looking at this device that probably is broken, out of battery, whatever. I remember last time I had a situation where my blood pressure was taken. It was so low, they thought I was going to die. The nurse kept on coming in like, oh man, this is not looking great. And after 2 days, they realized I am just naturally, like my blood pressure is just really slow. Like, wow, you must be a very calm person. I am. You know, so it's like things get a little confusing, doesn't it? And then we fall into the trap of having to go. Because, like I said in my title, trust in He who formed you in the womb. Now, I am not condemning hospitals. I am not condemning the education it takes to understand the body. We have to understand that this is a system that has become greedy over time, has become so greedy. So the doctors, the system is trained to put fear in you to take drugs for things that you could overcome naturally. Your body can overcome it. It puts fears in you to where you don't understand. And I have to say, I met a wonderful doctor and she told me that the system teaches you that your arm has nothing to do with the rest of your body. Your foot has nothing to do with maybe the fact that your kidneys are in bad shape, so the circulation is poor. You're not told those things. But through understanding and over the years, she learned that the whole body, Yahweh made it so beautiful, where it works together as a whole. That is why it is important to always lean upon the understanding that comes from Yahweh. I want you to turn with me to page 765, and we're going to go through Yachana Mark, chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. Chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. And I want you to think deeper than what the words are saying here. Starting in verse 25, it says, "There was a certain woman who had a health problem for 12 years. And she suffered many things by who? Many physicians." That's doctors. But again, remember, these are doctors who don't know of Yahweh's way. Okay? It's not their fault. They have not been taught. She spent all that she had, the cost. She spent it to try to save her own life, but was no better. Instead, she grown worse. She got worse. When she heard about Yeshua, remember, a man of Yahweh, who leans upon Yahweh's understanding, she came in the press behind and touched his tallit. Now, remember what the tallit represents. It's a covering. It's a way that it's reverencing Yahweh. The tzitzits are the laws of Yahweh, which you bind upon your hands, and you practice it. So she knew that this man of Yahweh had something that she needed to be healed. But she said, "If I may but touch his tallit, I will be healed." But remember what the tally represents. Okay? We know this is great power that Yeshua had, but also remember what the tally represents. And immediately, she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. Then Yeshua, immediately knowing in himself that power has gone out of him. So you imagine, remember, Yeshua is very close to the microorganisms. Okay? The laws of Yahweh binds Yeshua with the microorganism. He knew. He consciously knew among all the people that was pressing against him and wanting his attention, he knew something occurred. Something occurred. But do you think this microorganism will be allowed to leave through his tally to help this woman if that woman herself was not of Yahweh? There was something that changed in her to make her realize that what she must become to be qualified to receive this healing. Think about that. He turned around the press and said, "Who touched my tallit?" His disciples said to him, "You see, the multitude presses on you, and then you ask, 'Who touched me?' Seriously?" But he looked around to see her. He knew who it was, who had done this. So this woman, fearing, she was scared, trembling, knowing what she had done, came and fell down, humbled herself to him, and told him all the truth. All the truth. Maybe she told why. She knew why. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith," remember what faith is, "works without faith is dead. Your works, your effort to overcome, your effort to study and learn at the feet of the priest, your faith has made you whole." Look it up in the Strong's, your homework. The word "whole" means heal. "Go in peace and be healed of your plagues." This woman put her trust in Yahweh. She trusted Yahweh, and she knew that when there was a man of Yahweh at hand, she was going to dive in and get that healing. She had no more hope from the physicians, no more hopes in the drugs, no more hopes in the system that practices experimenting and destroying the body that Yahweh has created. In Psalms 103, verse 3, you would see, because this is one of the cross-references of this scripture, you would see that it is our own sins, our own iniquities that cause these diseases, whether it be of our own or our forefathers. But if you read the very top of that chapter, it says, because of the mercy of Yahweh, he has allowed us to be healed. He has taught us the way to become healed. And yes, like the tallit, it is through the laws of Yahweh. It's holding on to the laws of Yahweh. But keep in mind that while the hospitals put this fear in people to come there for every single thing, I mean, if it's trauma, you better go, okay? But if it's a minor thing and you know it could be dealt with, why make it into a trauma? Okay? Because you only get worse. You will only get worse. But think about the attitude that Yeshua had, the way he took care of the woman. Was it through fear? She was scared. She was scared. But look at how he comforted her. And he said, "That's okay. Because I know your intentions. I know your change. I know you are seeking Yahweh." And that's why we're here. We seek Yahweh. We seek Yahweh's ways to heal us. Because we know that the one who formed us is the only one who knows us and can correct anything that's wrong within our bodies. So put your faith, put your works, put your trust in Yahweh, and know that if you are earnestly asking him, he will answer your prayer. Because he doesn't want you to be going to the world for something that he can do himself. With that, I'd like to turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I don't need a stool. I'm quite tall. I'm very excited to speak to the called out ones. Today is a speech about inspiring each of us. That is the purpose. Okay? This is the house of Yahweh. And I don't say that casually. I still get butterflies when I drive down 258 and I enter the gates of the house of Yahweh. I get nervous because I know there is no other Father, no other Creator. There's nothing else. Nothing. Last night, the moon was maybe three quarters, and I thought of the scripture that says, everything that my fingers have framed is going to be set under the hands of man, under Yeshua, our high priest and king, and great Yeshua. Acts 3:15, he is the Prince of Life. This scripture is on my mind. Not the Prince of Saudi Arabia, the Prince of all living is great Yeshua. And under him, who is under him? Oh, y'all can do better than that. Who is under Yeshua? Okay, the Facebook page, it says, the hidden secrets of the two witnesses. And I like that, but I wanted to know what inspired the last day's witness to come up with that title. If you'll turn over to Ephesians 2:9, I think this is it, but I don't know. I think. And it's on page 917, and it says, and to make all men plainly see how this secret is administered, which has been hidden in Yahweh from the beginning of the ages, who created all things. See, I'm fascinated by the last day's witness, because I'm fascinated by how Yahweh inspires him. All of us came here from different parts of the world, but there was a calling, an inspiration that drew us. There's no way possible we could be here unless Yahweh drew us. And he had to draw us because of the inspiration of Yahweh's last day's witness. The joy and excitement that he has because the word of Yahweh is being shared. The excitement he has because the kingdom of Yahweh is coming into unity. Because he sees us overcoming. He sees our effort. He sees that in us, and he desires us to be in this kingdom with him. If you can turn over to Ephesians 4:1. It's on page 520. It says, next I looked into all the acts of oppression that are done under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, who have no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors was power, but they have no comforter. Hebrew word number 603, on the road that I live on, on the road that I look at the grass on, but I don't cut the grass on 603. It means cry, grieve, lament. This is what his purpose is. He is our comforter to bring us out of this darkness that sin has entrapped this world in. Please, let me say it as straight as I know how. There is no salvation offered in the world. None. There's no opportunity to be delivered from sin. There is no hope that you're going to have peace. The long-term plan is death. That's it. If you'll turn over to Yochanan 16:1. I think it's 16:1. It's 16:7, I'm sorry. However, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Comforter would not come to you. But if I go, I will send Yahweh's Holy Spirit to you. And that's our pastor. He takes a lot. His back is strong. We're here because we admire him. Tell me a man who stands for Yahweh on the face of this earth. Tell me one man other than Yisrael Hawkins who stands for every commandment. And ask yourselves, has he ever, ever steered you wrong? Respect, admiration, honor, and glory. And those feelings come from a history of a man who has kept Yahweh's laws, upheld Yahweh's laws, and taught me personally how to be a better person. And with that, I have the stop sign, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. I'm going to be continuing on with my study on the calendar. And today we're going to be talking about Measure the Temple, which is the June 2017 picture that is associated with the June 2017 calendar. And the overseer Yisrael Hawkins on 10/31/2015 stated this: Yeshua speaks of a time when the temple would be rebuilt, and he gives the witnesses the job of measuring it and bringing forth the prophecy of Yekezkiah, which we did. We've got it, and we got a temple model of it. Now, I've done some numbers on the gematria, and for 10/31/15, I took those numbers and looked them up under the Strong's in the Greek, and the number 10 is My Father is Majesty. So that is Yahweh is definitely behind this Yekezkiah prophecy, which has been fulfilled. The number 31 in the Greek comes from number 32, and it means an announcement, a message. And 32 says pastor or messenger. So right there, those numbers prove that this measuring of the temple is definitely inspired by Yahweh through these witnesses that have gone to Israel to actually bring forth these measurements and present them to the people in Israel to show them that the temple can be built according to Yekezkiah's prophecy. And the number 15 means to be a well-doer. Now, the measure the temple, it goes on, it says, and Yekezkiah's prophecies are the complete measurements of a temple. Now, Yekezkiah confirms that this is where the temple will be set, which is beside the Dome of the Rock. So the Dome of the Rock does not need to be torn down, does not need to be bothered in any way. Yekezkiah's measurements prove that there is a peaceful solution to the rebuilding of the temple in these last days. Yahweh gave instructions to rise and measure this temple. This prophecy came to pass in 1989 when the Witness Yisrael and several engineers used Yekezkiah's prophecies to exactly measure and create a model of the temple. Now, this information took me to the temple brochure, which is a peaceful solution to building the next temple in Jerusalem. And on page 13 of the temple brochure is a picture of the temple sitting beside the Dome of the Rock. And if you can, I'll show you a picture right here, if you can zoom in on this so that everybody can see that the temple is set right beside the Dome of the Rock. Okay. Now, underneath this inscription is two numbers. The first number is United States Design Patent number 360951. Now, I had done a gematria on those numbers, and not the gematria. I looked these numbers up in the Strong's, and number 360 comes from 353, and it means power by implementing strength. 353 means strength, and it's a variation of 352. Again, this word means strength. And it comes from the number 193, which is an unused root, which means to be strong, the body. So we know that the strength that we need this in this time period is Yahweh's laws, which are being brought forth by our overseer, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins. Now, number 951, which is the second half of that number, 360 is the first half, 951 is the second half, and this is the U.S. patent number. It means cattlemen or herdsmen. And it's from 1239, and it's a primitive root, which means to plow, to break forth, and to seek with pleasure. And this just shows Pastor, I mean, he is our shepherd. And now the second number is from the temple, and it's number 23, 230, 78. And number 23 means father of gathering. We are in the great gathering in these last days. Now, I actually went to the internet and was able to pull up a copy of a United States patent that was filed on November 22nd, 1993. It was filed after the signing and implementation of the 7-year peace agreement between Rabin and Yasser Arafat. But it was filed before the Vatican finalized their accord with Israel. The patent was actually dated and was put into motion on August 1st, 1995. Okay, now I did the 11/22/1993. And if you give me 1 second here, the 11/22/1993 it means the same as 11/21 as a builder of the family name. And isn't Pastor building Yahweh's family name in these last days by bringing us into the understanding of Yahweh's laws? And from it comes from 11/29, which means to build, rebuild, build again. And it can also refer to rebuilding something that is destroyed. Now, these numbers actually show, and they back up, that this prophecy of Yekezkiah has been fulfilled in these last days. Now, in the gematria, I had put in the prophesied, Yekezkiah's prophesied temple, and one of the numbers that came up was 2181. This refers you to Yekezkiah 16:3 to 63, which actually shows that Yekeskia is speaking out to the people of Israel and exposing their sin of fornication and of adultery by following the gods of their time period. Isn't Pastor doing the same thing for us today? He is actually speaking out and showing the world that they are following the gods of this world, which is inspired by Satan, so that she can destroy Yahweh's plan. And then number 2088 is a primitive word that means this or that of him. And it continues on and says, the one, the other. Again, we are going back to the two witnesses that are being revealed in these last days, as been brought out on Facebook page, the hidden secrets of the two witnesses. With that, I'd like to close and turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I hope that you are having a great Sabbath thus far. And the title of my speech today is You Must Eat Daily to Live. Again, I'll tell you. You must eat daily to live. I'm going to start you out with a personal but private question. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to show the answer out. But sisters, I want to ask you, have you ever found yourself in a situation where 2, possibly 3 days went by and you did not open your book of Yahweh? You did not read from the book of Israel, or the prophetic word, or the newsletter. You didn't even put it on an MP3 to listen to a law class or a sermon. In short, you did not study. If you have ever found yourself in such a situation, you are seriously endangering your spiritual life. And if you persist with this behavior, it can cost you your eternal life. Because, sisters, you must eat daily to live. If we look at Matthew 4:4, we see that our great Messiah Yeshua is speaking here. And he is quoting from Deuteronomy 8:3. And it says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. So we see here that, yes, physical food will do something for you. But to sustain spirit holy, you must feed it with spiritual food. You might say, well, I come to the house of Yahweh every Sabbath, and I take in a very sumptuous meal prepared by our great overseer. Or maybe the Kahans or the Kahaners, whoever is speaking. But you come once a week, right? And you have a spiritual meal. But sisters, can you imagine just eating one healthy, tasty meal a week? For one thing, you will get hungry, right? Then you'll get sick. And eventually, you will die. The same thing would occur to you spiritually if you choose to only take in one spiritual meal a week. Let's look at Proverbs 4, verse 22. And I'm going to cut into this Proverbs. And it says here, for they mean life to those who find them, and health to the whole body. But to enjoy this spiritual health and well-being, we must be eating. We must take in Yahweh's word daily. I looked at the web, www.webmed.com, and it says, children who eat breakfast in the morning, they're able to focus and perform better in school than those who don't. If we apply this to our spiritual lives, that is, if we get up early in the morning and we study, we will be able to focus on and perform Yahweh's laws more readily. And I can tell you, when I get up and I study, I do better. I have a more peaceful day, sisters. Try it. You must eat daily to live. So, sisters, if I was to say to you that what I have in this jar here, if you eat it daily, it will remove all the spots and wrinkles from your face. It would give you that energy that you need. And it would give you that mood and attitude that you need. Many of you would look for me for later and say, Kanemura, can I have some? But I'll tell you what I have here. My great sisters will do the same for your spiritual lives. Yes, it will remove all the spots and wrinkles, the spiritual spots and wrinkles. It would give you that spiritual energy that you need daily to fight those daily battles. Yes, and it will give you that righteous mood and attitude. But you have to open it and study it diligently and daily. Sisters, we don't have a choice. We must eat daily to live. So clearly, you can see that if you don't study daily, you'll become weak and spiritually sick. And you will lack the ability to focus on and perform Yahweh's laws more readily. However, on the other hand, you see that when you study Yahweh's laws daily, you will have that spiritual energy that you need to fight the battles that life presents. You'll be able to remove all the spiritual spots and wrinkles, and it will give you that spiritual righteous mood and attitude. Is that not what we want, sisters? Sisters, we have to get to a point where we would give up anything and everything to take in Yahweh's laws daily. 2, 3, or even one day is too much to go without a spiritual meal. So, I urge you today, my great sisters, eat daily and live forever. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Let us all be turning over to Luke chapter 1, verses 68 and 69. And as we do, are turning over there, the title of this speech is, This Picture Backs Up Prophecy Spoken by Israel Hawkins, the Man of Yahweh in These Last Days. Luke 1, verses 68 through 69, Blessed be Yahweh, the Father of Israel, for he looked upon and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That horn, that vessel that Yahweh speaks through is our great overseer, Israel Hawkins. He is that horn. There is also another horn that the adversary uses. May I have my picture, please? We're going to take a preview of the July 2017 newsletter. And this is a picture that Yahweh inspired the typesetter to pick out. Now, she had another one, but she said the other one didn't speak to her. And I thought, well, I think she works a lot of hours and she needs a little rest. But no, it really was Yahweh that inspired her to pick this picture. On this picture, on this plane, well, over this picture, it says World War III started September 12, 2006, with the bombing of a nuclear facility and will end with nuclear burning. On this airplane, there is a number, and it's number 70162. So I went and took the O out, so it went to 7162. And in the Strong's Hebrew, it means a sound, a horn, a cornet, a corner of the altar, a peak of a mountain, power, figuratively, horn, hill. September 12, 2006, that is written over that airplane by our typesetter, is the Gematria 3458. And that means Yahweh will hear. And in the Greek, it means the idea of hardship, with difficulty, scarce, have much work, difficulty in departure of a devil, with difficulty, labor, pain, and trouble. Now, on this here air picture, there was 13 bombs falling. Now, Yahweh does inspire our typesetter, because if you look at the original picture, there was many more, but she said she had to narrow it down to fit into the page. So when she finished, there was 13 bombs. that number 13 means a perishing, a destruction, to wander away, to lose oneself, to perish, to cause to destroy, disappearance of someone, something, and cease to exist. Now we know that's the plan of the adversary, to delete mankind from everything. In the Greek, 13 means locus. It's from Hebrew's origin. 2285 means locus, and it goes back to Revelation 9, 3 through 7. And when you have time, you can, if you write that down, Revelation 9, 3 through 7, that talks about they are look as locusts prepared for battle. You see here what Yahweh is doing with these pictures that he's putting in these newsletters. He's backing his prophecy, the words that he speaks. Foretelling a prophecy is his job, and the pictures are backing up exactly what the prophecies are coming to pass. Now, also on this airplane, there's the words U.S. Air Force. And I remind you to remember that in the fourth month newsletter, the overseer told us that the word force means God. It's the way of the gods to force. But in the gematria, U.S. Air Force is 524. And 524 means nation. And it goes to 523, a collection, a community of persons, people, from 517. Now, I want you to think prophecy. We're talking about this airplane. We're talking about war. And we're talking about armies, a collection of people. Daniel 11:31 tells us, just as in A.D. 70, when the army stood on the part of the Roman Catholic Church when they took over Jerusalem, in these last days also, the army will stand on the part of that little horn, that worthless horn, that spokesman for the Catholic Church. He is that horn, that little horn that speaks, just as we have one that speaks for righteousness and gives us salvation. Satan has her counterfeit. And it also comes from 517, a mother. Think prophecy, Revelation 17:5, the mother of all harlots, that is the Catholic Church. And this is her plan, her scheme, to try with all her might to destroy mankind. In the Greek, 5:24 means to grieve out, become apathetic, be past feeling, to cease to feel pain for, insensible to honor or shame, usually knows separation, departure, cessation, completion, and reversal. And in this last one, we know that the adversary has separated herself from Yahweh. She made her departure, and Yahweh's allowing her to complete the plan that he allowed her to complete, to show the mercy of him, that he's going to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that none of us can do anything without Yahweh. And then the reversal, where in Daniel 7 and Zechariah 14 says, and the kingdoms and the governments will be given to the saints of Yahweh. Let us get ourselves ready, sisters. This is so important to make this our calling and election sure, and to get ready to teach the nations. Now, as I was thinking about all these numbers and what it meant, Yahweh put in my mind Law 237. Law 237 is in Exodus 21, 28 and 29. In verse 29 it reads, if the bull tended to thrust out with its horns, and this was made known to its owner, and he has not kept it penned up so that it killed a person, a man or a woman, the bull shall be stoned and its owner shall be put to death. A representation of the judgment that Satan has brought upon herself. Because when you look up that word bull, it's from the word ox. It means a travailer, one who travels back to and fro, a harlot. A travailer is a person who travels about often. So we see she knows that her horn is causing death. She is inspiring that horn to cause death. Yahweh's judgments are perfect. And the judgment for her will be to her end that she has brought upon herself. Let's turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6. In 2 Kings chapter 6, it was the other day I was reading, I just flipped my book of Yahweh and it came to this page. And I said, okay, let me just see what this is about. And then I realized this is where one of the deacons left off on talking about Gehazi and Elisha. And I thought, let me go on and read more about this man of Yahweh, the man of Yahweh in that day. And they recognized him as a man of Yahweh, just as this world is recognizing that Israel Hawkins is the man of Yahweh in these last days, without doubt. The prophecy proves it, and Yahweh backs him up 100%. Let's go down to chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. So he dispatched a strong force of horses and chariots there. This is a king coming against them. And when the servant of the man of Yahweh got up early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. The servant asked, "Oh, my ruler, what shall we do?" You know, he's a little frightened here. And Elisha, the man of Yahweh, answered. He said, "Do not fear, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Yet the man, the servant still, Elisha could see he still hesitated. So this is what Elisha did. So Elisha prayed and said, I pray, open his eyes so he may see. Then Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I stopped there. And I said to Yahweh, would Israel Hawkins have to pray this for us? Would our faith be so weak that he would have to ask you to open our eyes to see your protection that you promised us in Scripture? And I said, no. No, he would not have to pray that for us. Because we believe without seeing, we know that Yahweh says that this house in these last days is going to prevail, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against them. Us. The man of Yahweh in these last days, Israel Hawkins, is a very merciful man. I see the same character in him as I see in this great man of Yahweh, Elisha. Because down here, when he prayed and the armies were coming, and he asked Yahweh to blind their eyes, and Yahweh honored that request. And then he said, he himself went to these people and said, hey, follow me. I can take you word to the man that you're looking for. So he led him into Samaria, which was their enemy. And when they got in there, Yahweh allowed their eyes to be opened to see that they were in enemy territory. The king at that point asked, should we kill them? And he answered them, Elisha answered them, the man of Yahweh, you shall not kill them. Set food and water in front of them so they may eat and drink, and then return them to their king. Nowhere in this world, in this last days, except the house of Yahweh, would someone say something like that. They would want to retaliate, and force their way to have their way. But Israel Hawkins isn't like that. Also in Luke chapter 9, this is an example of Yahshua being like that also. When he was going to Jerusalem and he sent someone else ahead of him to prepare the way and get him ready, but they refused to help. So his disciples said to them, to Yahshua, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know to what spirit you belong. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And that's what Israel Hawkins is doing in these last days, to bring salvation once again in these last days. The man of Yahweh, in these last days that Yahweh has chosen to bring peace to this earth. And may we be a part of that forever. At this time, let's all stand as the great head judge comes up. Let's give her a big hand.
I don't know.
Shalom. You may be seated. So I told one of the speakers that I was sitting next to a little while ago, I said, my speech is going to be so full of power. And she said, wow, I'm just praying that Yahweh will get me through mine. And I said, oh, no, 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 wait. I'm speaking about power. And she said, oh, I thought I was going to have to go pray for you. So now, the title of my speech today is, So You Think You Want Power? I want you to write that down. So you think you want power? Pastor's always telling us, he's always told us ever since we've come to the house of Yahweh, that one of our rewards are we are going to receive great power. Has he not? Have you ever thought about what that means? You know, as a young girl, I can remember learning about superheroes and all those fantasy things that we don't really deal with in the house of Yahweh. But have you ever thought about what it means to have power? I want you to really think about that as we go through the speech. What is power anyway? Why would we want it? And what will we do with it? Now, the definition for the word power is the ability to do something or act in a particular way, especially as a faculty or quality. The capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. Now, when you look at it like that, you can see that it's a little bit different than flying around with a cape around your neck in the air, right? It's actually how we act and how we act that causes others to act. So I want you to keep that in mind here. Now, all of our fellow Peaceful Solutions Certification Course members are going to know what the definition on page 11 of the acceptance unit is for power. What is power? Scream it out. Power. Knowledge is power. Now, that's found on page 11 of the acceptance unit, Peaceful Solution Character Education Intermediate Series. I want you to keep that in mind. Can I please have my first slide? It says here, this is the 10th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 8, verse 77. And it says, he's in Revelation 11, verse 3 here, and it says, I will give power. Notice, I will give power now. That is the knowledge of the laws and the prophecies to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices. It's a prophesied office, and they will foretell. Now, remember, Yahweh says, who as I will foretell? Well, he just told you. Israel Hawkins is, he has the power to foretell. Right there, right? Now, that power we just learned is knowledge. That's where the Peaceful Solution gets it. But it's also, remember, knowledge of what? I mean, I could have knowledge of how this here podium's made of wood, and maybe I can know how to make it. I don't. It's not that kind of knowledge. It's knowledge of the laws and the prophecies. That's where our true power that we're seeking comes from. Because, see, the microorganisms, which are the ones that are going to actually help us have this power to do things, they have to be able to trust us. See, this power is not magical. It's microbial. This power is not magical. It's microbial. It's microbes. It's things you can't see. But they only will listen to and trust you if you have the knowledge, which is the laws of Yahweh, behind you. Can I please have my next slide? This is from the 10th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 4, verse 3. Yahshua, he taught his disciples for many years. He had 12. He had day-to-day contact with them, just about. And of course, that day-to-day contact, he was able to be an example to them and, you know, literally correct them on the spot in this training. I've been there. How many of you have been there? If you're training under our last witness, the one that has this power, the one that has the power and is actually wanting to pour this power out on Yahweh's holy people, you've been corrected a few times. That day-to-day contact, I always want to be corrected by the one sent. Always. Well, that's not really true. I always want to accept correction from the one sent because I one day hope that I never have to be corrected again. So let me rephrase that. But when he does, I want to be able to accept that correction. But one day I'm kind of hoping that I don't have to ever get corrected again because I will then be doing exactly what he's doing, which is perfection, right? Now, when he talks about our jobs, Pastor, he's always so great about in the third book of Israel, and I don't have a slide for this. I want you to go home and read the third book of Israel, chapter 12. That's your homework. Read the third book of Israel, chapter 12. But in verse 45, Pastor says, you know, when people rebel against the Kohans or the supervisors or the ones that he's placed in particular positions in the house of Yahweh, he says, I asked Yahweh before I place these people. So it troubles Pastor because he doesn't just say, hey, oh yeah, she's kind of cute. I think she'd do well. Let's put her in the cafeteria. She could be the supervisor of the cafeteria. Yeah, I heard she cooks well. No, he knows us. Remember, he works with us day in and day out. So he says, okay, Yahweh, can I try this one? Emphasis on the word try. 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 Test and try. Okay? So he says, Yahweh, can I try this one? And Yahweh says either yes or no. And then they get that position, and then they have to come to perfection in that position, right? So is Pastor putting the people there or is it Yahweh? So remember, when we rebel against one who's in authority, it's really not Pastor we're rebelling against. It's really not the person that we're rebelling against. But really, it's Yahweh who said, yeah, okay, let's give her a try. Now, that doesn't mean that that person's going to make it into the kingdom. They have to do, they're only in there on their own merit. They have to prove themselves, right? Okay, I need my next slide. There's a difference between a boss and a leader. And Israel Hawkins fits a leader because a boss says, go. And a leader says, hey, let's go. Israel Hawkins is always first up. He's the first person I see moving around on the campground. And I can tell you, I'm one of the groundskeepers on this campground. I live here. He's the first one moving around on this campground in the morning. He's actually moved around several times before I get up and turn my light on the campground in the morning. Okay? So he's with us. He's doing it. He's not just one that says go. He says let's go. He's turning us into people who will have this great power. Now, it's the great power to actually influence and cause others to do things. It's not just so that we, yeah, oh, God got power now. Pretty powerful. Yeah, I'm powerful. No, it's not about that. It's, do you have the ability to influence someone else to make a righteous decision? And more so than that, do you have the ability to get someone else to influence someone else to influence someone else to influence someone else to make those right decisions and to be leaders? Okay? It's more than just about, the buck don't stop here, right? So I want you to remember that, and I want to read 1 Corinthians 15:56, and please put this in your notes. 1 Corinthians 15:56, it says, the sting of sin is death, but the power over sin is the law. Okay? So it's not like, you know, this big, it's not a power trip. It's the law. It's the law. And if we're not getting up and we're not studying these things and knowing what the law is, we'll never have that power because that's what backs us to be able to get the job done. They trust you. They say, you know, she keeps the law. If I go to that person, they will not tell me what I want to hear. They're going to tell me what's going to get me that power. That power, that power. So I want you to think, when you're going through life, am I giving people the ability to have that same power that we know one of the two witnesses has right now and that he's really wanting to give us? In Hebrews 4:12, I love this scripture. Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of Yahweh is living." It's living and powerful. Underline that in your book of Yahweh. Powerful. So the words are living, they're powerful, and they're sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I think that's the same thing that we learned about when we were hearing about them there, two witnesses. Remember, they have that two-edged sword that they chop everybody up to pieces with in Revelation 11. No, they don't. They teach. They know the law. They guide. They instruct. They lead. They guide with this great sword, which is Yahweh's word. And Hebrews 4 says, you can have that too. We can have that same power. And Pastor's always encouraging us. He's always the wind under our wings to keep us. He says, fly, go, you can do this. In Malachi 4:4-6, it says that these laws have the power to actually turn hearts. Write that down. These laws have the power to turn hearts. Hearts of nations, hearts of people, hearts of the one that you don't get along with right now. If you have a problem with anyone in the house of Yahweh, turn your heart. Keep these laws. Keep these laws. They have the power to change us. So you want power? You want to be a leader? You have to get in these classes. You have to get up early and study. Because that's where this power comes from. And the one sent has made it available for us so nobody can say, you know, when they was made the announcement about the power of Yahweh, I must have been sick that day because I didn't get in line. But I have my jar here. Can you put some oil in there for me? For years and years and decades upon decades, Pastor has been standing at the gates of this house with oil, begging us to read the newsletters that he spends so much time writing, begging us to get in the classes that he set up. These are set up by him. I dare say that Yahshua's not going to accept any excuses from us in that day if we're standing there and our jars are empty when he's given us every opportunity to have that jar running over. Can I have my next slide, please? The fifth book of Israel, chapter 1, verse 107. All of this is being recorded in your subconscious mind, whether you know it or not. When you get use of that, you're going to have all of this forever. You will never forget it, and you'll be able to show in detail. You will become the greatest teachers in the universe, and it's needful, Pastor says. Pastor says in the sixth book of Israel, chapter 5, verse 32, Yahweh is using mankind to demonstrate to the entire universe the blessing of keeping his laws. ... Yahweh promised that mankind could become like himself, to live forever and to become teachers. That's the promise that you have now. The 10th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 18, verse 89. They will completely cover the earth, governing with you. That's what we could be doing. In unity, so that you can be able to help others and become teachers and get others to become teachers. That's what your purpose is, to become teachers, guides of the world. Not gods, guides of the world. Of the world. That's because that's what we're going to do with 2 billion people very soon. Can I have my last slide, please? You are not a leader, House of Yahweh, until you have produced another leader who can produce another leader. Learn what to teach. Teach what you've learned. Become a leader so that you can teach others to lead, so that we can lead this universe to pure and total perfection under the guidance of our last day's witness, who's standing there telling us, the gate's open, the olive oil is here, come on in, bring your chair, and we'll fill it up, right? So, we got classes several times a week. If you don't know when the classes are, you can call the South Office and we'll get you the times, okay? And with this, I'd like for everyone to please stand. And I'd like to welcome our last speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Before I begin my portion of the speaking, I'd like to remind us or encourage us that great Kohana who spoke about the July PW, she said, please encourage you to read it. You will be amazed, okay? So please study the PW July that's not out yet. Okay, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you, especially those of us who are here and those who are joining us over the media. On the day of Pentecost, was that the day they sang the song? The day of Pentecost, 6-1-2017? Is that the day the choir sang the song about the vow? Anybody remembers? That was the day? And the great overseer said, oh, I was standing in front of my screen crying. Do you remember him saying that? I was standing in front of my screen crying. So, while the choirs were singing the vow song, they kept asking us and asking us, do you love the house of Yahweh? You remember that? And they kept asking us again and again and again. So while I'm saying, well, do I love the house of Yahweh? And I'm sure the song had different effects on us differently. So I'd like to share with you the effect it had on me that day. So I'm there, and the choir keeps asking, do you love the house of Yahweh, the bride, the Lamb's wife, the bride, the family of priests, more than all else? So I said, okay, love. What is love? Do you love? What is love? So while they're singing and asking us the questions, I am taking my law book and I am writing something at the back of it like so. So I can remember that love that they're asking me about all this continuously. Whatever kind of love it is, the honor, respect, the deep feelings for the mates, the spouses, the caring, the concern for the children, the hungry cat over there that comes by your house for food, all the different emotions and feelings, your friends, and so in the great house of Yahweh. Whatever the love is, great sisters, it has to be best founded on this. Do you agree? Whatever the kind of love is, if someone wants to sell you love, take it and screen it through this. If it falls short, then don't buy it. Whatever the love is, don't buy it if it falls short of this. Now, do you agree? Very nice. So while they're asking me again and again, do you love the house of Yahweh more than all else? I said, okay, you know what? I can go to 1 Corinthians. You agree? I can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do you agree? Can you turn there with me, please? I want to talk about love a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says, though I speak with the languages of men and of Malachim, and I have no love, I am nothing. I am only a resounding gong. What is a resounding gong? Or a clanging cymbal. Though I speak with the languages of men and of Malachim, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong and or a clanging cymbal. So I couldn't bring the gong. I did not get the cymbal. But it shows that I am making some unnecessary noise. And I'm talking it so fluently, but I'm really just making some noise. So if I did not bring the gong, I did bring a trimble can make some noise. Can I use it to just show you some noise that I would be? Lily, may I have the trimble, please, whatever you call it? So an example of noise is what I want to give us. If I don't have love, I am only making noise. Like so. Although it's coming out fluently from my mouth, but it's noise. It's a resounding gong. You know what a gong is? Those big instruments, and when you knock it, it makes a big booming sound. And the cymbal, you knock the cymbal like so, like, and it's just noise. If it's not playing for music nicely. So you just make noise. So,
thank you, Lily.
So, I said, okay, let us read verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I can understand all the deep secrets and all knowledge, it says, verse 2, and I have all faith and I can move mountains. You tall mountains over here, please. You short mountains over here, please. Mount Everest, you over here. Yes, I'm talking to you. And I'm moving mountains. Young mountains, could you come to the front? All young mountains. But I have not love. I am nothing. I am moving mountains. You ever see mountains move? Very big things. But I have not love, I am nothing. So what is love? Do you love? Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my possessions to feed the poor, here's the heritage I get, feed the poor. All my possessions to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned at the stake, burn me, and I have not love, it is of no advantage to me. Nothing. So what is love? Do you love the house of Yahweh? The lamb, the bride, the lamb's wife, the family of priests who rule like Yahweh above all else? All of that. So I said, okay, let me get a definition of love. I got a definition of love in the second part of the book of Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 13. Is that where you are? Nice. So let's read that nice definition of love. I'm not talking, I'm just going to read it really nice. Let's go. Verses 4 to 8 tells me what, do you love? And all of us answered, I love. You remember that? So, love is patient and is kind. Do you is patient and is kind? Not grammar, but the context of it. Do you love? Love is patient and is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. It's not puffed up with pride. Do you all of that? Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own advantage. Is not provoked. Become worked up in irritation. Thinks no evil. Do you all of that? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Do you all of that? Does not betray, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Do you all of that? Love is patient and is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. Is not puffed up with pride. Does not behave itself rudely. Does not seek its own advantage. I can work in the cafeteria too. I can cook. Well, I want to go to work in the cafeteria too if they all go in there. Is not provoked, become worked up in irritation, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Does not betray, believes all things, hopes all things endures all things. Do you?
Let's read the rest of that wonderful scripture.
Love never fails. Do you? But where there are prophecies, they will be fulfilled. Where there are languages, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will be replaced by complete truth. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect comes, then that which is in part imperfect will vanish away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. All my decision making were like a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a big adult, I put away the childish things. Now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a blurred reflection. You know when the great one sent his crying and his glasses start getting blurred and he's taking the thing off and because he cannot see. Blurred. Oh, here. You see my mirror is nice and clear. You can see yourself nice and clear there. So the camera won't see. You see it's nice and clear. Oh, my. Oh, that's funny. I made it blood. See this? Can you see? I don't want the camera to mess up the camera. Blood. But now we are looking in a mirror. We are looking in a mirror that gives only a blurred reflection. You see that? But then, face to face with perfection. Now I know in part, but when I will know fully, even as I am, praise Yahweh. But now these three things endure. What are they? Faith, hope, and but now these three things endure: faith, Hebrews 11, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, hope, evidence of things not seen, and love. But the greatest of this is love. So great house of Yahweh, do you love the house of Yahweh more than all else? Remember all the wonderful things we read, what love is. Love is patience, love is kind, and you can do all the things. But if you have love, it is nothing, no advantage to me. So we must have the love this way. Praise Yahweh.